Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to the BBF Wednesday podcast with Brian and Bob. It's April 8th. We hope you all are doing well. We are together to just stay in touch with you. And how's everything going with you, Pastor Brian?
Things are going well. I'm glad to join you or have you join me this afternoon or this evening, whenever you guys are listening to this, hopefully later on this evening. And I think the Lord's given us some relevant things, some exciting things to talk about today.
Well, let's start with a prayer and go to our Lord and during this time of isolation and just give it all to Him.
I think that's a good
plan. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this time together and for the ability, the technology that you've provided that allows us to reach out to our community of believers, to be able to share with them and talk to them during a time when so many are suffering and everyone is just isolated and really struggling just to stay connected and contacted. Yes. So we give you this time today. We lift it up to you. We ask for your Spirit to be with us and to be with all our listeners. And we do that in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you.
Well, let's start with some announcements and see what's happening. Recently, we made a little change to the Faith in Action ministry. Brian, tell us a little bit more about that.
Yeah, well, for sure. You know, our Faith in Action ministry, first, I'll just mention what it is because some people may not even know. Our Faith in Action ministry is one that it's the only one that's kind of church ran, you know, the one that we run, we govern, you know, we make the decisions on. All the other ministries, they're not a part of our church. They're just people that go to our church that are missionaries and ministry leaders, and they're doing what God's called them to do. And so we have no influence there. Certainly we have influence, but we have no authority. We have no, you know, you do this and you do that. They're kind of autonomous ministries, or they're partnering with other people. So this is the only church ministry in a sense. And what we use it for is it's called Faith in Action. We collect at this point right now, we're collecting rice and beans, but we also, it's a ministry that can certainly open up to a variety of other venues down the road, but we collect rice and beans and then we give it out to different ministry leaders that we partner with, all those other ones that I just mentioned. And we let them use it in a way that opens the door to share the gospel. And so it's not just here's rice and here's beans. You're hungry. Here you go. Here's a free dinner, free lunch. That's not what we do. There are some ministries to do that.
Well, since we shut down, we've had to make a change there. We normally it was handled by Jerry for us, but with us not together, we made a change. Well, tell us about that change.
Yeah, and so that's our heart with the ministry. And now that we've been shut down, now that we're not allowed to physically meet and go to the church and do this kind of stuff. These kind of disbursements, what we've done is we've Lee approached us. We didn't approach Lee. Lee Wisdom has offered his place. He lives off Wacancito, about a mile up the road. It's not very far. And he's offered, I'll keep some bins out front. And anybody that wants to drive by pretty much at any time, preferably not in the middle of the night. He's had some rough experiences with that. But anybody that wants to drive by anytime, you can go by and drop off outside without having to touch anybody or engage with anybody, rice and beans. And then Lee is going to he's going to take the lead here with dispersing that. He's going to communicate with ministry leaders, and he's going to see to it that anything that's contributed is spread evenly among the ministries. And the heart there is, you know, there's the Panamanians here. They don't. You know, it's not a wealthy place. And so they're not, it's not like they got a real nice nest egg to kind of rely on during these times where there's, you know, almost no work. Right now they're struggling. They're hungry. Some are going hungry. Some are having needs that are unmet. And so this is to be a tool for that within the ministries. And of course, the goal is let's give this rice and beans, let's give this food in a way that as we're doing this, then we're going to share the gospel. Sharing the gospel is part of receiving this. And so that's what the ministries are about, and that's what's going to happen. So we're just encouraging people, if you feel so led, when you go do your limited shopping, if you can afford it, if the Lord's blessed you more than he's blessed those, the Panamanians around here, many Panamanians in Nobe, pick up some extra rice and beans and give Lee a call. Go drop it off with him. And so that's what we're encouraging. That's what's happening. Lee is kind of taking the lead there.
Wonderful. And I think the only other announcement we have is that to remind everyone that we're doing Sunday services now just a little differently than we used to.
They're it's online now, right?
We're patchworking it all together. We've got the intro, we've got announcements, we've got worship music, we have a sermon. But but it's all sort of patched together and it's online, and it's interesting, and it's wonderful that the Lord has given us tools to be able to continue on like this.
Yeah, and we even got to see your lovely face this last week. Bob did some scripture reading for us, and so see, it's fun because I record three separate videos, right? I do the kind of the introduction of prayer cleansing, and then I do the sermon, and then the end with benediction and closing out. And I think the plan is to have you do some more reading this week as well, and so we'll get to see you again. And then obviously Tammy does a couple of videos of worship, two different ones, and then Tammy splices all that together, and she's been adding lyrics onto the video. For those of you who have been watching, I hope lots of you have been watching the service and the worship. Getting those lyrics to show up on the video, that doesn't just magically happen. That is painstaking. I mean, Tammy has been putting in many, 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 many hours just for that little piece of the worship service, so that we can not have to have it all by memory and not have to pull up like a document or a PDF to sing along, but it's right there. And we can participate and worship the Lord with her as the team leads. And that's been incredible. So I just want to thank Tammy. And if those of you listening, I just encourage you to thank her yourself. Send her a message. Let her know that you now realize, if you didn't before, the kind of overtime she's putting in to make to really serve our family well.
We're truly blessed to have someone like Tammy. And as we're talking right now, you and I, and doing this podcast, we're in the middle of Holy Week.
Right.
And you know, since everyone has a lot of time on their hands because we're all isolated, we thought we'd suggest some readings for you to do during Holy Week.
Sure.
And throughout the four Gospels, starting with the triumphal entrance of Jesus into Jerusalem, you can read right through to his death, his resurrection, his ascension, and on his conversations after his resurrection with his followers and his disciples. You can start in Matthew 21, or you can start in Mark 11, or you can start in Luke 19, or John 12, any one of those four Gospels. And Ryan says he'd be happy to provide you with a list of all this scripture also in chronological order.
Yeah, I'd be happy to put that together. And several of us have we led through, and several of us went through a narrated Bible in chronological order. And so I still have that Bible. I still use that Bible. Frequently, I go back to it when I want to see certain things in its chronology, and it does a great job. It's got some commentary and things like that, so I could easily put together a list. And of course, you could probably Google and find all sorts of lists like this already put together. But I think it's just important for us to realize the time that we're in, the season that we're in historically with the ministry of Christ. You know, last Sunday was Palm Sunday. This coming Sunday is Resurrection Sunday. It doesn't feel that way in a sense because of how we're having to do church and do services and the way we're not able to meet in the way that we traditionally would and celebrate the way we traditionally would. But that is the season that we're in. That's the week we're in. This is Holy Week. And so it just seems to me God has led me, and God has led me to do this myself. And then I believe that he has led me to encourage others to do it, is to just kind of follow along with him. And obviously we're halfway through the week now, or more than, and so it's hard to do that, but we've got lots of time. We can catch up. And so we can read what he did on Sunday and read what he did on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday, and kind of go through the week and have that kind of on the forefront of our mind, on the front burner, as we go into his crucifixion and Good Friday. And then obviously Resurrection Sunday that we're going to celebrate this weekend.
Wonderful. Well, the Lord has led us this week to discuss some questions about reality. And the reality is we're all in quarantine, and most of us are not too happy about it.
Yeah.
If you have a big place, that's one thing. But if you're in an apartment, which a lot of our people are, it can be a very difficult time. Mm-hmm. So the questions we're going to discuss this week have to do about that particular reality.
Yeah, you want to just read it? We've got kind of four questions we want to talk about. You want to just read all four of them, and then we can start with the first one, just so sure. People know where we're headed?
Sounds good. So the four questions are, one, how do we remain strong as a community of believers when we cannot physically associate? How do we continue to spiritually support one another? Will this cause a further decline in general church attendance? What was the first Easter like? Because they were sort of, after the death of our Lord, they were sort of isolated themselves after and waiting for his return. And so we want to talk about that as well. So the first question, how do we remain strong as a community of believers when we cannot physically associate? Mm-hmm.
Bob, I know you've prepared extensively. I'm not sure how extensively, but I know you have some real good comments on this. So I'd love to let you take the lead, and then I'll comment after you.
Well, I don't know about the extensively, but I was reading through the book, and I remembered Acts chapter 16. Mm. I thought that was an amazing situation, because those of you who remember Acts 16, or you can turn to it now, they were in Philippi. And they were going through the marketplace, and there was a person who just kept bothering Paul. And so in frustration, this person was just crying out, and they seemed to have some sort of spirit of divination in them, and kept following them and shouting at them. And Paul, in frustration, finally turned to her and just commanded her in the name of Jesus to come out. And the spirit did. Unfortunately, there were people making money off this person with their spirit of divination, mm-hmm. and they weren't too happy about it. And it ended up with Paul and Silas being beaten with rods and then in prison with their feet fastened to stocks. Mm-hmm. And the amazing thing is the very next verse says, about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. They were celebrating.
Yeah,
they're in prison. They had just gotten beaten. They're in prison. They're isolated from everybody else, and they're praying and singing hymns to God.
What a perspective!
What a perspective! You know, I thought that was just kind of amazing. It didn't stop them in their work. Of course, the prison was shaken to its foundation at midnight, and the jailer was terrified that he was going to lose his prisoners. He was going to have to kill himself, and Paul calmed him down. And it ended up with the jailer asking to be saved. Mm. I mean, so here they are in total isolation, beat, locked up in stocks, and they're still doing the work of God, and they're still celebrating, and they're still happy that they have their Lord and Savior.
Yeah, it sounds to me like you're expressing well through this Acts 16 testimony that our serving the Lord, our worshiping the Lord, our purpose on this planet, which is to glorify God, is not hindered at all by our circumstances.
No, not at all. Not in the least. And you can see that's a continuation of that. And if you go to Philippians, the first chapter,
right?
You know, these guys, poor guys, spent a lot of time in prison. In the first chapter of Philippians, you know, Paul's in Rome and he's in prison. Mm-hmm. And if you read through that first chapter, he's talking about his prayers, his joy, thanking he's writing a letter to the people of Philippi, that he had spent time there in their jail. You know, I get the impression that Paul was probably an expert in a lot of jails throughout the Roman Empire.
Absolutely. And obviously, you know, Philippians is where we get, you know, it's a letter that focuses on joy. I mean, exhortation is not the word, but there's no rebuking, I guess. I mean, Paul is just thrilled with the Philippians, and he's so excited, and he loves them so much. And you see that exude all throughout the letter. And that's the letter where we get the Philippians 4 and being content in all circumstances. And he's learned how to be content and what that looks like and how that's often taken out of context. I mean, you just described the situation that Paul's in, and it changes slightly from here to there, but he remains in prison during all this. All these writings. And so it's sure not impeded, I guess, his ability to be joyful, his ability to serve the Lord, his ability to do what God has for him, his ability to worship God, glorify God, on and on and on, is not impeded because of his situation. So to get to your question, which is how do we remain strong? I guess kind of what we've answered so far is it possible to remain strong? And I would say, you know, that's a resounding yes. It is possible to remain strong. And you know, to kind of add to the question, is it possible to really nail it during this time? Is it possible that this is exactly what God has for us? And is it possible that we can, in our secluded isolation that we're rather unhappy with, can we still function as the body of Christ? Can we still do what he desires for us? And obviously those are semi-rhetorical questions, but the answer to all of those is yes, of course we can. And so what are some, you know, obviously God's given us some ideas and we've shared some of those already, but by way of reminder and also possibly introducing some new concepts, you know, what are some ways that we can, literally remain strong? What are some practical ways? And then also I'd say, let's kind of pair it with the next question. Number two, how do we continue in addition to remaining strong? How do we spiritually support one another during this time?
Well, we learn a lot from Paul. We just go back to the word and we see how Paul was in prison in Philippi and the prison of Rome. We can learn a lot from Paul. All Paul had was his mouth and a pen and paper. I mean, that's it. And he was able to save the guards in Philippi. He was able to convert the imperial guard in Rome. He was able to continue to write letters to people. He was able to talk to the other prisoners. So Paul had used all the means available to him at that time to take his isolation and still advance the gospel of the Lord. And we have so much more now that Paul didn't have.
Right.
I'm pretty sure that Paul didn't have chat groups. I'm pretty sure that Paul couldn't do Twitter. I'm positive he didn't know anything about Skype and Zoom and Facebook. And I know he didn't know anything about email. and I'm pretty sure that Alexander Graham Bell hadn't invented the telephone yet.
So you're absolutely right.
When I think about, you know, the fact that we are in isolation and it's really bothering some people, and I'm praying for them because I know it's bothering them, but I want them to focus on all of the tools that we have today that Paul didn't have. We have the tools that Paul had and so much more.
Right. No, absolutely. I mean, the Lord has really blessed us. And I mean, to me, you know, one way that we can remain strong and again, to me, the Lord's poking me with something I want to preface that thought with is, you know, kind of the best way we're going to remain strong is we got to nourish ourselves, right? I mean, we've got to take care of ourselves. We can't just, well, I'm scared, I'm isolated, I'm kind of miserable, I don't like this, and just totally neglect to feed ourselves. I mean, if we're just starving Christians, which many are, I mean, this is not going to prove healthy. This is going to prove, you know, a very difficult time because we're already starving and then we're making it worse by the situation. That's when the enemy's really going to get us because we're weak. We're not nourishing ourselves. That's not a good recipe for success here. And so we really need to take care of our own spiritual health, meaning spending time in the word daily. I mean, we have never had, you know, some of us are still working obviously, but especially in our community, there's been a lot of amongst our flock anyway, there's a huge increase in free time. Most of our ministry leaders, in fact, all of our ministry leaders now are not doing anything as far as they're not doing anything like they used to. There's some that are still doing a few things, but it's not majorly time consuming. I've got multiple ministry leaders that have reached out to me and have said that they're so bored. Give me something to do. Lee Wisdom, I'm going to have him preach for us. We're going to get to see him preach. We're going to see him take a video and do all that next week. And so I said, you know, I can't have you preach. You know, I need to preach Resurrection Sunday and Palm Sunday. But, you know, the week after Resurrection Sunday, I said, it's all you, man. And he was so excited for me to give him that opportunity. And so we've got this extra free time. There's no reason that we cannot or do not or will not minister to ourselves and nourish ourselves. And so we've got to take care of ourselves spiritually. We got to be in the word. We need to spend time praying. We need to spend time worshiping the Lord. Just the examples that you just used, Bob. I mean, that's exactly what Paul's doing. His feet are in stocks.
Yes. And Paul didn't have a Bible with him. You got to remember that. Mm-hmm. Paul's in prison without the word of God with him. His ability to communicate with God was through prayer and through just his insight and just going to his Lord, closing his eyes and talking to his Father in heaven in prayer. Most of us have several Bibles. Most of us have the ability to go to the internet and do research. Mm-hmm. And so we have the tools available to nurture ourselves that Paul didn't have. Unfortunately, we also have the tools of distraction.
Absolutely.
And we spend, I think, too much time on YouTube videos and things that really take our minds off away from nurture and really kind of feed the worry side and the preoccupation side and the conspiracy side. We have the ability to nourish ourselves and we have the ability to take away from that nourishment.
Right. Absolutely. I mean, there's a there's a trap, you know. I mean, there's the possibility for us to get sucked in to what the world has for us, rather than what the Lord has for us. And just the other day, I can't remember where I saw it. I don't know if it was on social media, which I don't do much of, or if it was on online somewhere, but I saw something, and it was not a Christian thing at all. I saw a video, and the title of it to my recollection, was like the 10 stages of quarantine. And it was, you know, kind of a joke. And the 10 stages were, here's the 10 kind of major movie series of, you know, 3 to 9 movies. And here's 10 of them. So there's 10 stages here of what you're going to do with your time. And it's like, you can spend hundreds of hours watching lots of movie, lots of TV. You can binge all sorts of television shows. I mean, you can do all sorts of things. And while, you know, technology in a sense is great, it's also kind of our Achilles heel. The enemy is going to use it to distract us. And I can't tell you, I've talked to several people, Bob, over the last couple of weeks, that even though they have more free time now than ever, in a weird way, it's almost like they're busier now than ever. They're busier with just different things. And so, you know, one thing I've always said is, you know, you make time for what's important to you, period. And so it doesn't matter the circumstance or the situation. We make time, we'll prioritize, reorganize our schedule, our sleep, our eating, whatever it is, to find time to spend with the Lord. And that's so important.
Now, some people are working hard at putting together small groups using things like WhatsApp and other things. We're going to be testing see if we can do it, if a Bible study or a get together on Zoom. I know people have had some problems with Zoom, and I kind of wanted to just update everyone on what our feeling is about that website.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, you know, Brian and I both heard the concerns. There have been some, over the last week, there have been some stories out from both from the FBI and from other sites of hacking into Zoom. And that's true. Apparently, Zoom had some very weak security protocols. And I spent a lot of time researching this. And the president of Zoom has basically stopped everything except for security updates. In fact, there was an update today addressing security issues. The hacking seems to have been, the only reported hacking seems to have been with recorded videos and not general meetings. If somebody goes and records a personal video and puts personal information, apparently hackers have been able to hack into the Zoom website and review these personal videos. Well, don't do personal videos. If Brian and I were to do a podcast, a visual podcast, we wouldn't care if somebody hacked our video. We're not doing anything personal. The other hacking has been...
You mean we're not going to be sharing our credit card information and social security number later?
My advice would be no, I'm not, but you certainly can. The other hacking has been during meetings, like where you have a meeting and it's not being recorded, but you get together and there's 3 or 4 people on the screen, and then somebody hacks into this thing and starts drawing things on the screen, inappropriate things, or putting some pornographic image or shouting out some bad language. Well, there are millions of people using Zoom, and the incidence of these has been a very, very small percentage where that has happened. And when it does happen, you end the video, you end the meeting. And we're not snowflakes. We're not going to melt if we see an inappropriate picture. And so our feeling has been that we're going to go ahead and see if we can test using Zoom with some, maybe do a Bible study or something, because we're not concerned at the moment with somebody hacking in. It's a very, very small percentage. It might happen. If it does, we'll just stop the meeting. And we're not recording anything. And if we were to record, it would be things of God, and if somebody wanted to hack the things of God and see something about the things of God, that'd be wonderful.
Yeah, and you know, the only thing we're using Zoom for is this podcast, and then we're going to try to use it for a Bible study soon. And so, but we've not been using it for anything else. And so, kind of our perspective, you know, just to reiterate some of what you're saying is, you know, there's always going to be a reason not to do something, you know, not to get together in fellowship. Okay, so we can, you know, today it's Zoom and tomorrow it's something different, you know, and so I can suggest 5 different things and you got, you know, a dozen or 2 dozen people that are participating and somebody's going to find something wrong with all of them. They're going to find some reason. And of course, that's what the enemy wants. And the enemy is going to bring that to light. He's going to show them, he's going to reveal to them some kind of flaw, some kind of reason not to use this system, not to do this. And I think that's what the enemy wants. And so until such a point comes that there's more significant danger to participating in it, I feel like, and so do you, Bob, that that the Lord's leading us to go ahead and proceed with this resource. Praise God, the host of the meeting has the ability to end the meeting for everybody instantly. Anybody that's on the call can end the meeting for themselves. They can disconnect at any time, but the host can just nuke the whole thing immediately. And we're working with our hosts, and anyone who's going to be hosting a meeting knows what's going on. If something were to happen, if they lose control of the screen or you know anything like that, they're just going to end the meeting, and we'll go from there. So that's what I think God's leading us. You know, it's not a nonchalant, we don't care, we haven't looked into it response. We have extensively, actually, probably more than most people have. And yet this is, we're going to choose to trust the Lord with it, follow him, and expect lots of grace. Go ahead, Bob.
And we'll do our best to stand on the news regarding Zoom. And if the situation deteriorates, then we can address that, we can adjust. If the situation right now looks like it might be improving because Zoom is putting all their resources into nothing but security updates at this time to address the concerns that the FBI raised with their site.
Yeah. So, well, and it's to their advantage, of course. I mean, so many people are using it, massive increase in usage in recent weeks and months. And so, of course, they want to have it as secure as possible to continue that. So we'll see. And obviously, we'll update anybody as we get more information.
And we'll just count on the Lord's protection, which we do on a daily basis anyway.
Absolutely.
Well, our third question is, will this situation, this isolation situation, will it cause a further decline in general church attendance? Now, I've got to tell you, Brian, I've read some stories recently from churches around the United States and other places, and they've experienced a decline in church attendance. They call it Christians on Vacation.
Yeah, well, you said that was the name of some articles you were reading, in fact. Is that right?
I heard that term used in several articles, Christians on Vacation, where pastors around the country have set up, you know, their live streams and their other things, and they have the ability, I guess, to determine how many people, the number of people who are actually participating or who are watching, and they know how many people participate or who are at their churches on a regular basis every Sunday, and they've noticed a marked decrease in the number of people who are attending or who are getting on, who are just involved with the church. They've noticed a marked decrease in decline of tithing and giving. And so these stories have been out there, and I would have thought the opposite. You know, I would have thought that in a time of isolation, people would draw closer to their church. But right. even with our newsletter, I was expecting, our weekly newsletter that goes out on Mondays, I was expecting that you would see the count rise, but you're telling me you haven't really seen that.
Yeah, I mean, we have the privilege now with MailChimp of seeing a percentage that open it, a percentage that click on things. I mean, we can see all sorts of information, analytics about the newsletter that goes out. And no, there's not been there was an increase on the quote, important BBF or important church notice. I can't remember what we titled it, but the one we sent out right before we shut down for the very first Sunday. So that one got a little bit higher click rate or open rate, but by and large, there's not been really any change in the average, and the average is not very high. It's around 50% or so of people that do participate, read, click, even click on, even open, you know, much less read it, but open the newsletter. So yeah, some of that's disappointing. Yeah, I'm kind of with you. I would have expected on some level to be an increase during this time. And of course, we don't know. We have no way of, you know, seeing the viewer count on the video, you know, for service. And so my assumption is most of our church is tuning in and staying active with us, but that could be a very naive assumption. And I only know for sure of people that we're talking to, which we are talking to people, but it's not everybody. I mean, we can't keep up with everybody. And I don't specifically ask everybody that we talk to, you know, did you see this sermon and, you know, this service and this service and this service, kind of check the boxes, you know, we're just not doing that.
Well, I think most pastors with experience, most pastors whose churches are really being spiritually led and connected to the Lord, know that there is a percentage of people that attend their church who are not spiritually connected to God.
Sure.
And so I think maybe with this isolation, with this situation, is showing to a lot of people around the world and to a lot of churches are what that percentage might be within their church.
Right. Yeah. Who's who's serious about the word, here's who's serious about the Lord, who's serious about the things of God, who really does possess his spirit. And not to say that if you don't click on the email or if you don't attend the service, you're not a Christian. That's not at all what we're saying. We're saying on some level, I think this calamity, this pandemic that we're experiencing on some level is separating the wheat from the tares in a sense, not definitively, not in a way that we can say, you know, here's a wheat and here's a tare, but I think we're seeing some of that on some level. I think we're seeing some that maybe they were kind of guilted into going because their spouse or their friends or, you know, for community reasons, social reasons, on and on, they felt like they had to go. Now they don't feel that way. And we see it with, and we'll come back to this, Bob, but we see that with giving as well. I mean, it's the exact, you know, it kind of it runs parallel with the two.
Yeah, I agree. Well, our last question, this is more of a, this one is my most interesting one, is what was the first Easter like? Here we are in the middle of Holy Week. And I know you prepared some notes on this one, Brian. The Lord dies, then rises 3 days later. His people see him, his disciples, there's joy, and then he ascends and he leaves them and they're by themselves.
Right. On this first, I'm thinking, you know, the first Resurrection Sunday is the day that Jesus rose, right? And, and so we get the, you know, the traditional story of what happened, and we're all, you know, pretty much familiar with that. But what I want to read, you know, I want to read just one verse, the context of what happened 3 days prior. You know, this is when Jesus was arrested. Matthew chapter 26, verse 56 says the following. This is what happened. He was arrested, and then it says, then all the disciples deserted him and fled. That's what happened. They all abandoned him. Other translations say forsook him. They all ran away scared with their tail between their legs. And so they all run away. They're all hiding. And then later when Jesus reveals himself to them and appears and shows himself to them, they're all hiding. I mean, they're all huddled up. And so they weren't in kind of, you know, kind of the goal here, Bob, that I think you had was to liken it to our situation today for us. And so they weren't in total isolation from one another. You know, many of the disciples were actually together. At different times, of course, they weren't all together at all times, but many of them were together, but they were in isolation from the world. I mean, they were terrified of, and they did face, Bob, a very real threat of death. And we see this with Peter, you know, the example with Peter, he's following Jesus. And then when he gets accused of being a disciple of Jesus, you know, he's staying just enough, you know, just kind of far enough back. But then when he gets accused, he denies him. Right. And then he gets accused again. He denies him again. Then he gets accused a third time. And Peter's response is, I mean, sometimes we don't read the one about him cursing, but because that's only in one of the gospel accounts. But Peter's response, I mean, it's violent almost. I mean, he vehemently denies even knowing Christ, much less being a follower or a disciple. And it says that he uses profane language. How dare you accuse me of such a thing? I do not know this man, he says. I mean, he knows right then. He sees it happening, you know, yards away or just saw it happening yards away, the real danger of associating with this man. He could very well lose his life, and you could argue would have lost his life had he answered differently. And so, you know, we see God rule sovereign over those choices and decisions.
Yeah, and it finishes with he went out and wept bitterly. Can you imagine leaving those people, leaving his Lord after he denied them three times, profane, swearing he didn't know him, and then he's outside by himself and he collapses.
Yeah.
He collapses in just total agony and misery.
Absolutely. I mean, it's this, and every one of us has been there. I mean, every one of us has totally blown it and sinned in terrible ways and has then later been convicted of it. And God's, you know, whether maybe it was through anger and now we've calmed down or whatever it is, God's given us eyes to see what we did at some point. And it grieves us in the same way that it grieved him. And so then on Resurrection Sunday, on Sunday morning, here we are, the first day of the week, these disciples, I mean, they're terrified. They're together. They're huddled up. They're kind of mourning and really feeling like defeated losers is kind of how I would say that, you know, that's not what they are, but that's how they feel in this moment. It's like, golly, you know, Jesus really seemed like the real deal. I mean, I really thought this was the Christ. I professed it. This was the Christ. And yet, you know, he lost. I mean, he was defeated. He was killed. And, you know, they didn't understand. And so they really thought that he was going to bring peace and freedom and newness, but he didn't. He blew it. He failed. They killed him. And so they're scared, and they're going to come kill his disciples too. And so they're hiding. They're literally inside their home with the doors locked, windows closed, shut. I mean, they are literally huddled up hiding. And that's the context of Sunday morning. And then obviously, go ahead.
Then of course, you know, they're miserable. And then 3 days later, resurrection happens. The women go first, and then they go back and tell Peter and John, and Peter and John race to the tomb, and John outraces Peter. You know, they're just, can this be true? You can just imagine the excitement and the expectation, and then to finally see him again and to meet him again. You know, in 3 days' time, Peter went from absolute misery and agony. I can imagine that Peter had thoughts of ending his life. I wouldn't have been surprised if he didn't have thoughts of ending his life. And of course, the Lord protected him from that. And then to go from the absolute depths of despair to the total joy of seeing their Lord and Savior.
Right. Absolutely. And one thing here that's interesting to me as well, and I'm probably going to mention this on Sunday too, is you see throughout the story, you know, when they see that they hear he's alive, they hear he's risen, they see the empty tomb, and then yet they believe, and then they don't believe. And then they're, you know, when they're huddled up, still having already been told that he's alive, you know, the content, what we get is, we've studied this in the past, the road to the Emmaus road, where he appears to two of his disciples, and he kind of clicks and shows them, and all of a sudden they see that it's him. And so they rush back to the disciples and tell them, they say, look, you know, here's Jesus is risen, and he's appeared. And as they're the 11 are in disbelief, you know, they're saying, there's no way, that's not possible. In that moment, I mean, they're feeling all these things that we've already talked about in that moment, defeat, mourning. And in that moment, bam, Jesus appears inside the room with them, poof, and his glorified body just warps into the room, and then starts, obviously reveals himself to them, and has a conversation with them and eats with them and lets them touch his, the hands and the holes in his wrists and his hands and the hole in his side and all this. And so it's, in a sense, Bob, what you're saying, you know, there's a real similarity here between this first Resurrection Sunday and what we're experiencing on some level. It's not the same, but there's some similarities.
We're gonna be coming out of this at some point the same way the apostles and the disciples came out of it. This isolation is not gonna last forever. I mean, this is a in my opinion a good time of trial for Christians. I mean, it's a bad time for the world, but I think we as Christians should look at this as a time of not just trial, but a time of opportunity. It's going to test us. It's going to give us an opportunity to grow closer to the Lord. It's going to give us the opportunity to spend more time with him and nourish ourselves. So we as Christians, in my opinion, should look at this as both as a good trial and a good opportunity.
Sure. Yeah. And obviously that doesn't contradict the fact that the situation may be at times miserable and very difficult and challenging and cause us to have similar feelings as you just described Peter having of kind of in the depths of despair. You know, there's obviously this isolation period is going to affect certain personalities and certain people differently than others. And for some of us, you know, myself being one of them, it's just not a big deal to me. I'm not overly affected by it, positively or negatively, but there's others who are just, I mean, it's just like, it's like the world has ended. I mean, it's like just the worst thing that could possibly happen. And so obviously we got to be respectful, you know, we know, and then there's things that would greatly bother us and grieve us that wouldn't bother them. And so we all have different strengths and weaknesses. And there's people that are really struggling right now. And yet there's this ambiguous approach, like you just explained, that despite all that, here's reality. Here's some of God's perspective at the same time.
Yeah, there's no question that this is going to be a time of trial, and our Lord's going to be watching us through this trial. He's going to be helping us through this trial if we just turn to him and remember that he's there during this time. Well, I told you I was going to like this last question the best. I really enjoyed that. What final thoughts do we have for this podcast? We have a few things we noted down. Feedback. We want feedback. I mean, we need to hear from more people. If you're alone and feel isolated and have lost communication, communicate with Brian and Bob. We'd be happy to hear from you. We'd like to hear what you think of these podcasts. We'd like to get your comments, not just about this, but about anything that we're doing, the sermon, anything. So please continue to give us feedback.
Yeah. And part of it too, Bob, from my perspective, you know, when I have talked to people, I'm not fishing, you know, I'm not asking, you know, have you listened to all this stuff? You know, that's just, I'm not trying to guilt anybody into listening. I'm not trying to put anybody on the spot in a difficult, you know, conversation to say no or anything like that. You know, so I really, unless people reach out to us and give us feedback, I have no idea if people are listening. And I could count on one hand the amount of people that I know for sure are listening. And so I don't know many people that are listening, and I suspect many are listening, but I just don't know. And so, you know, part of me, you know, one way, you know, that maybe the enemy attacks me, or, you know, maybe one way that I'm just thinking realistically is, are we wasting our time? Are we accomplishing anything here? Is anybody listening? Is anybody benefiting? Because if they're not, if nobody's listening and nobody's benefiting, we don't need to do this. You know, this is more time on both of us and that could be better spent elsewhere. But if there are people listening and there are people benefiting, even if it's just one, you know, I want to know that. And so please give us feedback. Let us know if this is helpful to you, if it's meaningful to you. We'd love to hear from you.
Right. And then we want to talk about the intercessory prayer team and the regular care team. They're still in operation. The intercessory group wants to hear people's prayers, the needs out there, so they can do what they do best, going to the Lord on your behalf. So please keep sending in any prayer request. I mean, especially during a time like this of isolation, people are struggling, there have to be prayer requests. So please don't forget about the intercessory prayer team.
Right.
And also the care team. I mean, there might be some situations out there where you just need some sort of help. And the care team has made themselves available. They're still around. They're still available.
Right. Yeah, for sure. And that, I mean, that also kind of ties in with another one, which is if there's anybody here, you know, listening or, you know, obviously there's many people that can fit this, but specifically if there's anyone in our church family who's struggling, who's in need physically, financially, or otherwise, please let us know. Or family members, if you know of other, if you listening know of other members of our church family who are struggling, I would just encourage you to encourage them to get in contact with us. We don't want to do a kind of I deal with person B to, and then person B deals with person A, and then person A gets back to B and B gets back to me. You know, we don't need somebody, you know, we don't need a bunch of middlemen, but I'm saying encourage those who are in need to talk to us, because we do have, you know, some funds that are set aside for needs like this. And so I want to share that. And not only, you know, from the financial and physical aspect there, you know, that's what our care team is, to kind of help facilitate some of this. The church has some finances for it. The care team is there to help do whatever they can.
And speaking of finances, we had a couple more people ask about how to give, and we definitely want to explain that. Church giving has dropped significantly over March, but it has for every church, unfortunately. This easiest way to give and to keep giving your tithing or your generous contributions to keep our church going is through the website. When you go onto the main page to the right, there's a giving tab. You click on that, and towards the bottom of that giving tab page, you will see a green button. It's actually a word that says donate in green. And if you click on that word, it gives you a variety of opportunities to continue giving to our church. There's debit cards can be used, credit cards can be used, bank transfers can be used. There's a variety of methods to continue giving to and supporting the Boketti Bible Fellowship.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, it's important to note, you know, for, at least from my perspective, I preached on this back in November. I'd encourage anybody to go back and listen to that. But, you know, the Lord wants us to give, and he sets out instructions and kind of, here's the heart that I have, that I want you to have for giving. Here's the way and the manner I want you to give. And here's how much I want you to give, which is not a specific amount. It's one that we're to discern individually. And so he lays out exactly how we're to be giving. And some of that is, you know, some of the ways, and I don't want to, you know, I'm not going to preach a sermon here. Some of the ways are, you know, it's supposed to be planned. It's supposed to be discerned ahead of time. I'm going to give this much each week, or this much each month, or this much each quarter, or whatever that looks like. And so, you know, a pandemic happening just doesn't change that. And obviously it changes the fact that we have needs of our own, and we may rediscern with the Lord and say, okay, how do you want me to adjust my giving? But the expectation there is not, well, I adjust my giving to zero and I spend all that on myself because I need extra food to store, you know, for myself and even maybe for my neighbors. The expectation is that he's going to continue to lead us to give to the church, namely to give to him, and that he's going to use it for the church. He's going to use it for ourselves. You know, giving is not primarily for just the functionality of the church, our local church. The Lord does all sorts of things through our giving, even within ourselves, both to bless us, to humble us, to teach us to depend on him, and on and on and on. So I just want to follow that up, Bob. I think you covered it well. But there's still a need. There's still the ways to do it. I guess I would add, there's some that really just don't want to learn, or they don't want to use a credit card, or they want to do it cash, and on and on. And so if that's your perspective, that's okay. I would just encourage you to, and I've had this conversation with a couple people this week, I would just encourage you to kind of set aside an envelope and add your giving to it. Because if we say, well, I'll kind of catch up when we get back together. One, we don't know when we're getting back together. Two, that's real hard. I've tried that before. I've said, well, I'll just kind of, you know, I'll give twice a year, and I'll give it kind of 6 months from now. And when 6 months comes from now, and I look at what I owe, kind of with what I discern, it's a lot bigger than I thought it was going to be. And well, maybe now I'll find some way to really not give it, or give some of it. And I kind of start playing this game, justifying what I give. And it's just a dangerous approach. So I would say, if you want to do cash, you want to wait, just kind of tuck it away in an envelope that you don't touch, until we get back together, to prevent the enemy from tempting you to use it in any other way.
Well, thank you for that. And while I appreciate that suggestion, unfortunately, we can't tuck away some of our regular bills that come at the church on a monthly basis. We're trying, but some of them have to be paid. So yes, we do ask for your continued support, and all churches need it, not just our church.
Yeah.
If you're listening to this podcast and you're a member of another church, they're going to need your support as well.
Absolutely.
So, you know, Brian and I, thank you very much for being members of Bouquet Bible Fellowship. And Pastor, would you go ahead and maybe close us in a prayer?
Yeah, I'd love to close. Bob, I've got one more thing that I'd like to, I feel like we kind of skipped through this question and didn't answer it. Your first question and your second question about how do we remain strong as a community of believers, and how do we spiritually support one another. You know, we talked about some of the things there, but I just want to encourage you guys, as I think we've done each time. One of the ways that God's leading me to do that, and I suspect leading others and has led me to encourage you all to do it, is to pick up the phone and call somebody. There's no reason we can't touch base. Obviously, we can't touch base with 150 or 120 or, you know, even half that often. But we can call, you know, Bob and I are trying to call and talk to a couple of people a day, every single day, or most days anyway. And let's stay in touch. Let's send out emails. Let's send out WhatsApp messages. Let's make phone calls. You know, God's given us this technology. Let's use it to stay in touch. And over the course of many weeks, we will then touch base with almost everybody. But it takes some time. And so it's not a big burden of you've got to talk to 100 people today. It's let's talk to a few people and let's be consistent. Let's use these resources, because this is how we're going to stay strong. This is how we're going to stay connected. This is how we're going to spiritually nurture one another. And I can't remember. It's a Corinthians verse that's coming to mind right now. But there's one that talks about, you know, God's going to use our suffering, and I got it written down. I'm going to look it up. In fact, he uses our suffering. He uses our tribulation to comfort others. And so it's 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. I want to read that. It says, "Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of all mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in our tribulation so that we may be able to comfort those who are in trouble with the comfort that we received." And so God is going to comfort us. God is going to grow us. God's going to build us up. He's going to strengthen us. And then we're going to kind of pass that along. And so if we're not connected with people, if we're not talking with people, we're not going to really be able to do this. So that's my encouragement. I'm sharing with people to get connected. Let's make phone calls. Let's send out emails. Let's do WhatsApp. Let's do all that. So that's the final word. Let me close this in a word of prayer, and then we'll be done. Well, Heavenly Father, I'm so grateful for this opportunity to do what we're doing here, to do this podcast. I'm grateful that you've given us the resources that we have. I feel blessed. I thank you for Bob's willing to prepare and to lead in the way that he does. I thank you for the church family that you've given us. I'm grateful for all that you do, despite the situation that we're in, despite the trials and on and on and on. You are still God. You are still worthy of our praise. We can still glorify you. We have a unique opportunity to spend lots of time with you. I'm grateful for you. I praise you. I worship you. I encourage our church family to do the same. I pray that you'd go with us now throughout this week as we get ready to celebrate your resurrection. It's such an exciting time, Lord Jesus. We praise you. We worship you. We love you. And we adore you. And it's in your name we pray. Amen.